Good morning, listeners. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Passover Lamb, who through his shed blood has purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. We continue today to look at Easter in the epistles. Last week, we looked at Romans chapter 3, verses 25 and 26, where we saw that Jesus' death on the cross removed God's wrath from sinful man and provided justification for those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Today, we will examine 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 25. The backdrop to this portion of Scripture is Isaiah chapter 53, which is often described as the gospel in the Old Testament, because it prophesies the suffering of the righteous Messiah to redeem all humanity, whose sin have alienated them from their Creator and the overseer of their souls. The passage reads as follows: "To this you were called, because Jesus suffered for you, leaving an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Indeed, instead he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." The Apostle Peter explains to us that Jesus' death and resurrection, which he experienced firsthand on that fateful weekend, served two purposes. Firstly, to provide redemption to man, and secondly, to provide an example of patient endurance in the face of injustice. Firstly, we look at the redemption for man. Like the Apostle Paul, Peter sees the death of Jesus as a perfect Passover sacrifice which atones for man's sin before holy God. Jesus' greatest miracle was performed not when he was alive, but in his death. Jesus' death provided the spiritual healing that mankind desperately needs, the salvation of our souls. The benefits of this sacrifice are twofold. Firstly, we are freed from the penalty of sin. He bore our sins in his body. And secondly, we are freed from the power of sin. We die to sins and live for righteousness. Let's examine being freed from the penalty of sin. Believers in Jesus are freed from the penalty of sin because Jesus stood as a substitute to endure God's wrath on sin. Our faith provides the means through which we can appropriate this grace, by which we can gain God's favor. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Romans 6:23. Jesus willingly suffered the penalty for mankind's sin before holy God. Now we look at being freed from the power of sin. Jesus' death and resurrection also broke the power of sin over our lives. Peter declares that believers are now dead to sin. Paul says the same thing in Romans chapter 6. We don't become sinless, but we are free from sin's shackles and power. We no longer have to yield to sin's subtle temptations and deceptions. We can resist temptation because we have a greater power living and at work in us. That is the Holy Spirit of God, which we receive the moment we express our faith in Jesus, evidenced by repentance. So we now come to the other purpose for which Peter recounts the events of that fateful day: to provide an example for us to follow of the patient endurance required of believers in the face of unjust suffering. Peter denied Jesus, we know that, which caused him to weep bitterly. No doubt, however, he would have hung around at a safe distance and would have witnessed some of the injustices meted out to Jesus. He and others would no doubt have recounted that Jesus never once retaliated to these injustices that he received, but instead entrusted himself to his Father, who is the only just judge. We often face slander, prejudices, crime, and other forms of injustices, but we must never retaliate. Some people think that it is their right to defend and protect themselves and their loved ones, as one famous personality recently did, an event witnessed by millions of persons and denounced by many. Believers, however, are to model Jesus' demeanor in his hour of greatest suffering of injustice. Like him, we must entrust ourselves to God, who is our defender, and by extension, to the relevant civil authorities who have been commissioned by God to execute justice on his behalf. The patient endurance of injustice is part of God's plan for a Christian. Since Jesus was not exempt from suffering, he serves as the supreme example for suffering evil for doing good. His experience as servant savior transforms the suffering of his followers from misery to privilege. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 2:12 adds, "If we endure, we will also reign with him." However, since God is our defense, we can trust him to vindicate us. Since he is just God, we can also be assured that the guilty will not go unpunished, but pay for every unjust act on the day of judgment if they do not repent. In conclusion, we see that Jesus' death and resurrection provides us freedom from the consequences of our sins and the potential to live righteously and experience daily victories over sin. The unjust manner of his death teaches us that God allows injustice in order that, like Jesus, we can learn to entrust our lives to God, who is wholly just and will provide justice for us in due course. God bless you, and stay tuned till next week when we meet again. God bless.